This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast features Wally Caraballo of Casa W Distillery. It was recorded on location at Casa W Distillery in Wyomissing, PA. Be sure to reach out to Wally and Casa W Distillery and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. We're here at Casa W Distillery. He's Wally Caraballo. I'm Rich Shane. Dawn Ranieri's here, and this is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Wally, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for show up here.
Well, thank you for your graciousness to host us today. And we get to learn all about your distillery and one of our favorite spirits, Pitoro. Wally, how did all this get started?
Well, that started in my basement when I make drinks for everybody. And everybody love it. And from there, I have the decision to learn how to make my own rum. But I don't choose Pitoro. The Pitoro choose me.
All right. Now, how did Pitoro choose you? You're obviously from what country?
I am from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Yes. So what we learned from Puerto Rico Distillery, we learned there about Pitoro. This is like Puerto Rican moonshine. Everybody in the villages, everybody makes their own special Pitoro. But how did this choose you?
Because the needs of a good Pitoro on the street, everybody made a hard rum. So I changed the game.
All right. How did you change the game? Talk about your methods versus what's, as you put it, on the street.
Because we started using clean equipment, stainless steel, copper. And everybody used like a old drum of oil, gas tanks for using like a tumper. And I changed all that, just making everything clean, take off all the methanol, the acetones, all the bad stuff for us.
So it sounds like this is like old school distilling. This is taking pieces and parts. This is moonshining. This is out in the woods here in the United States. But where you're from in Puerto Rico, people are just putting together these stills, but not that same care and quality to what you're presenting, correct?
Yes. So everybody over there use different tools. They use up to whatever they find on Home Depot, Lowe's, or any hardware store. And we almost do the same, but using quality equipment. That's the only we change, nothing else.
Now, we are here in Wyomissing, West Reading. When you talk about making this in your basement, is that here or is that back in Puerto Rico?
No, here in United States. I forgot where I was making that.
And we don't have to tell anybody either, right? Yes. As a wonderful moonshiner that you are.
Yes.
Where did the interest in Pitoro? Where did that like kind of captivate you? Where did all that start?
Well, that started like when I have like 12 years. So my uncle and other friends go to the woods to buy a gallon of the Pitoro. And I was impressed signs that day. Why all the mystery? Why is hiding? Why nobody knows the distiller? Nobody knows who is the one who infused the Pitoro. So from that day, the mystery started.
and you were captivated by the mystery, the romance of it in a way, right?
Yes.
And as I understand it with Pitorro, there's like you come together as a community and everybody shares their Pitorro. And really, it's almost like a little competition, but it's also sharing in a way. It's almost like la familia.
Yes. So everybody share the recipe, the bottle, or even in Puerto Rico, they call gancho the 1.5 liters. So what they do is the bottle show up on the party. Nobody knows who bring it. Nobody knows who make it. Nobody knows who infused the bottle. Just sometimes people know who bring the bottles, but almost show up by mystery on the party.
See, I didn't know that. That sounds so fascinating because then you're not judging what you're drinking by who you think brought it. Although I'm sure over time, people can start to say it's like, you know, when they do those pie bake-offs and people know who made that pie. So people may know who made that Pitorro, but it's still a mystery.
Yeah, it's still a mystery. Sometimes this is a kind of rum that don't need any kind of promotion, don't need advertising because everybody looking for that rum.
You talk about how you've refined your craft and what you bring to the quality, what you bring to the cleanliness of how you distill. Now, the journey of, hey, I discovered this at a young age and it was a mystery and there's a romance involved. What was it for you to say, I want to open Casa W Distillery?
Well, that started when I was 12 years ago. My father had a bar too. So I started making my own sangria to sell to the customers. But my father didn't know I was making sangria to sell to the customers because I using his rum, the wine from the bar. I using the flask, the bottles. But I left all the money for him. And he say when I run my chief, he make more money than what he make.
Have you always been entrepreneurial? Has this always been a mindset to be an entrepreneur?
Yes, because I follow his steps. The only difference is he have the bar with license and I want making the sangria without license. And always follow his steps.
So he's really been an influence on you.
Yes, I can. The only I can tell you is yes.
Where was his bar?
In Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico. What was the name of the bar?
The name was Waleira. That was combination of name with my sister and all the brothers.
Okay.
And it was in the Playa Guayanilla.
You are here in the United States, and you are working on your Pitorro. Where did the idea come from to open up this distillery and serve the masses that come and visit this area?
It was because I already living here. So I find the best way people can know about this beautiful rum because it's 100% different. People appreciate what we do. And we have people from different states that come over here. So that's mean like we're making something good. And you know how you can get successful on your land up to you are out.
Say that one more time.
You are not successful on your land up to you are out of your land.
Okay. So what you're saying is you needed to leave an environment to come here to where people didn't recognize you to really make your claim here.
Yes.
And know that what you were doing was you were on to something. Is that correct?
Yes.
What is it? Because, all right, we know rum. That's very recognizable. You're not that far from Reading Distilling Guild up the road in Reading.
Yeah, Christopher.
But there's a difference. You're making something different. What is that like when people come and say, oh, I'll have some rum. And you say, well, wait a second. It's Pitorro. You have to explain that. What's that conversation like?
Well, the difference between, I always say, let's see any commercial rum. They age on oak. Then they filter through charcoal to get clear color. But they have the flavor from the oak. So Pitorro have the flavors without going through the inside the oak. So the flavor is different than commercial rum. Plus, we don't add any sugar syrup or sugar on the bottle, or oils, extracts, or flavors. So when you drink Pitorro, you drink something straight from the still to the bottle.
Now, you took us to your distilling area, and you gave us a tour. You said your still is from Serbia?
Yes, from Serbia.
How did the idea come? Like, I can think of, there's so many good stills that are made here in the United States and in Germany. I'm not familiar with any stills made in Serbia. How did you go to choose that still?
I find them by mistake.
Okay.
When I was searching, I find this company by mistake. Well, I start looking what they do, how they made the stills, what material they use. And obviously, the time to distill. So because I have other job than the distillery, so I need time plus save time for my family too. So I find them, we start conversations by email, then by Instagram, and then by he gave me his WhatsApp. And we start from there. We got all the certifications we need to know is a truly company. And then they show up they send by airplane in 6 hours. It was here.
Wow. That must have been so exciting to see the boxes and the crates and that still that you'd been going back and forth with to just, it's here. To me, I'm thinking it's like Christmas morning for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was early Christmas, but the more amazing was it custom made. We choose the stainless steel, we choose the copper, we choose the motor, and they make gas steels we sent to make electric.
What was the reason why you chose electric over gas? Is it the facility and wanting to be safe?
Yeah, the facility and fire codes.
You know, this is a house, and you mentioned before we spoke on the podcast that this represents your home. That's why Casa W.
Yes.
This is a representation of your home in Puerto Rico.
Yes, this tasting room is like an old home in Puerto Rico. You see the ceiling, the walls, the lights. It's like an old home in Puerto Rico. A home on the mountains, or can be on the beach.
I like being on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the mountains are okay, but I prefer the beach.
Yeah.
Dawn prefers the beach, too.
Yeah, I mean, where I grew up on the beach, La Playa Guayanilla in Puerto Rico. So I was living then on the mountain, so I like both.
With your still and understand your experience in making Pitorro, because you've been doing this for a long time from Puerto Rico to here, what was it like to start to develop your recipes, your builds, and working on this wonderful still you have today?
Well, I start in the beginning, we start choosing good materials, I mean good molasses, not the molasses the animals eat. This is something we change. And the sugar, we don't use table sugar. We're using a cane juice dry sugar. And we also bring cane juice from Puerto Rico. So in the history, they start making Pitorro with molasses. Then other area of the island made the Pitorro with cane juice, squeeze the cane juice. But then the quality of the molasses change, and the sugar companies start adding water to the molasses. That's why people start adding sugar. So when we make our recipe, we combine all the centuries of history of the Pitorro, and we make our own recipe. No recipe we have to ask to people. No recipe you can find on YouTube or anyone can tell you. This is what we make. And we are surf learners. So people don't show how to make Pitorro because they don't want. But at the end, now our Pitorro is the favorite of them.
How long has this distillery been open? When did you open?
This distillery opened around 7 months.
That's all. You've only been open 7 months.
7 months, yes.
And what have been some of the feedback? What's some of the feedback you've gotten from some of your customers and new fans of Pitoro?
Well, people, when there's some people who come with the chest like that, like, I made Pitoro too, when they taste, they...
Wally did this look of Superman.
Yeah. So when they taste, they say, that's awesome. They like it. I know when people show up, they who make Pitoro, who don't make Pitoro. And everybody's welcome to taste. But then when they taste, they say, wow, that tastes, I like it, tastes clean. This is what they say. In Puerto Rico, they drink by shots. But we start making drinks so people can enjoy good rum with good juices. We use raw material to make the drinks. And if you search on Google, Facebook, you're going to read all the awesome reviews.
What have been some of those moments for you where, as you said, look, you're a startup, and as many people do in the craft industry, they work other jobs, they've got a family, and this becomes that passion, but your passion is turning into a business. What have been some of those moments for you where you said, maybe to yourself in the quiet moments of distilling, or maybe to your wife or somebody in your family or a friend, that you were on to something? What were some of those moments for you?
There's a lot. Well, the best moment is when I can tell you when my daughters start feeling interesting in the business. She show up to help without any interest of we have to pay her or something. She just see when people arrive and she saw we are busy and she start to help us. And my wife in the beginning say, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. And now she always behind me. We need more production. We need this flavor. We need that. We need buy bottles. We need, she's really interesting. That I believe that the passion go more stronger.
So you come from a family background, as you said.
Yes.
Dad owned a bar in Puerto Rico. And now you've got your family with you here. And you're creating that family experience for them, that family business.
Yes.
And that's very interesting. Your wife at first wanted to take the safe route.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Just keep making it in the basement. Your friends like it. We like it. And now she's saying, we need more of this. Make these flavors. She's become so on board. That must give you a lot more satisfaction because everybody's coming together to share this wonderful thing that you're all doing together.
Yeah, now it's a family passion. Even Sebastian have 7 years. When we was building this, he come to hell. He give me the hammer. He give me wood. He give me the nails. And even him, he don't know about alcohol, but on the construction. And when he come over here, he opened the door. He say, everybody, hey, we have Pitoro.
Now, Sebastian's your son?
Yeah. Grandson.
Grandson. Wow. I'll tell you what, Wally, they're going to see pictures of you and they're going to see the video. And I look at you and I'm thinking you look like you're in your 30s.
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you look like you're in your young
30s. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, all right. This is the secret. Drink Pitoro.
Yes.
It's the fountain of youth is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Keep you... John.
Keep you young. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We're going to pour some opportunities, some samples, some of your expressions, and then you'll get to share with us and the listeners, and we can talk about what we're tasting. How's that?
That's good.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast. We're back, and we have these four expressions on the table. Well, they're in front of Dawn, but I hope I get to try some too. And one of the things I recognized, Wally, right off the bat, is this wonderful sweetness in the air now. And now my mouth is... I couldn't wait to try these as we were speaking about your distillery and how this came to be. but I am so excited. Take us through, you know, we're coming to your distillery and we're trying these for the first time. Take us through and how, what we should experience here.
Well, we are going to start with the white one, which is the molasses, cane sugar, but technically like raw sugar, dry cane juice, and cane juice from Puerto Rico. So this is the one you can taste. This is our base for the other flavors.
Now, you've said cane juice from Puerto Rico several times. Why is that important? What makes that ingredient to your Pituro what you're looking to get out in the flavor and the experience?
Well, to start, change a little bit the flavor. Plus, if you're making a Puerto Rican rum style, have to have something from Puerto Rico.
All right, that makes sense. I'm nosing this, and I'm enjoying the nose on this. And one of the things that comes out to me is there's a little bit of a sour note to that. Now, you mentioned when you were doing the distilling and what you did that was so important. We talk about the heads and the tails.
Yes.
We talk about the acetate and the other components to get to the hearts. But there's something that you do or something you look at to make sure you're getting full of flavor and experience. And talk a little bit about that.
When you make Pitorro, Pitorro have everything from the beginning to through the end. So we add one step to separate the alcohol from the wine. And we don't make any cuts. Any cuts. So then we distill in Andrea, the one distill we bring from Serbia. And over there we separate the acetone and the methanol, but we keep all those flavor that make the Pitorro different than any rum.
So your first distillation, you're bringing everything together.
Yes.
And you have a column still. It's a kind of like a hybrid column still that you're stripping on that second run.
Yeah.
And you got three plates there. So you're doing a stripping run, which is actually taking out the harmful components, but leaving it full of flavor. Is that what I understand?
Yes.
I'll tell you, there's like this juicy, citrusy, it's almost like a sour note, like a lemon, but there's also this wonderful sweetness to it where you get, I always say I love the molasses, but I love the marshmallow component that comes out on the nose.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear what Dawn's experience with that, because she always says more about the nose and she's always concerned about that.
I'm always concerned. No, you just have a better nose and better taste buds than I do.
So, for you, the first time you set this up and you started running this Blanco Pitorro, and did the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and say, wow, this is exactly what I was looking to make?
Well, in the beginning, we have to work with the column steel because I never use one. I have to learn how to use it. And I call some distillery, but no one can tell me how to use it. So I have to learn again by myself how to use a column steel. But now we have set up to make our rum, and now we rum the steel with our eyes closed.
Wally, there's such a wonderful creaminess to this. It's almost like a creamy oat, creamy almond consistency that... What's the proof on this? Because
it's 100 proof.
It's 100 proof. And the way you were expressing it earlier, I don't know why I get this in my head. It's going to be like 151. And I'm just going to be breathing fire. Because it is, I mean, what I understand, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that this is, and I've said it before, this is a Puerto Rican moonshine. And people think moonshine, the proof is going to be higher. But what I find with this is it's such a warming sensation. Now, almost to the effect of, I know this doesn't taste like bourbon. It has no characteristic of a whiskey, but it has so many of those warming components in the mouthfeel. It really plays well with the sweetness of this rum, this Pitorro. This is the Blanco. This isn't your flavor. I could just sip this. Just sit here and sip this.
Yeah, I have people who buy the Blanco just for drink with ice. They enjoy like that. I have last week a couple, they buy the Blanco for a Christmas gift, but they drink it and they come back for two more because they like it.
I almost said, you know, where we were talking about this almost having that whiskey component. So I know this is almost like a white dog. And I again, I'm coming back to this Tennessee, this Lincoln County method where you get the charcoal nature, the toasty roasted nature of this. And there's no barrel that went into this.
No.
But it's got all those wonderful marshmallowy, sweety, you know, there's a little bit of sour component to this. And it's juicy and it's creamy. That's the way I'm enjoying
I think
this.
The marshmallow too. That's what really stands out.
But that's why that this is part of the combination of the three ingredients in three specific way to do it. Three specific way to mix. That's all the one. The time we give to mix, we mix each batch with time, a specific time. Also, we're using baking yeast. We don't use in distillery yeast because Pitoro was made with baking yeast. So I believe the baking yeast give that sweetness on the Pitoro. Also, we can use turbo if we want. We have the same flavor. Some people say that's not possible, but if you know what you do, you can make almost the same way using a little bit of other stuff. Sometimes in winter, when it's too cold outside, we have to use just, let's say, 1 ounce for 80 gallons of turbo yeast. That's the only difference in winter. Summer, just baking yeast.
With this wonderful Pitoro, there are not a lot of distillers making it. There are not a lot of distillers who have heard of it before. And the public, for Dawn and I, this is something we get to benefit. And I was thinking to myself, La Fricatona, they were the ones that introduced us to you. They were guests on the podcast last week as this airs. They're a food truck, but they're more than a food truck. What they do is, I think they're craft Puerto Rican family recipes. You are craft Puerto Rican family recipes. And what I'm seeing with just this wonderful development in our society, in the United States, we've seen the basic Mexican food. We've seen the basic foods that everybody can go to those chain restaurants and get. And then you find these little gems, right? These little hidden, I didn't even know this existed anymore. I mean, I should get a bumper sticker on the back of my car that's, I'm going to get two of them. I'm going to get one that says, I break for mofongo. And I'm going to get the other one that says, I break for Pitoro.
Yes.
Because to not have this and to find that this is becoming such a wonderful craft. And as we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, this is something that communities come together. And somebody will put this, what'd you call it? A gaucho? No, not a gaucho.
Gancho.
A gancho. They'll put it on the table and walk away.
Yes.
And then everybody gets to experience the secret, wonderful thing. Or then they know which ones not to go back to because they didn't like it. But this is part of the fabric of where we are now. Do you see almost a responsibility to Pitoro, to your culture, to your history, to carry that on and introduce this and to build this from where it is today?
Yes, absolutely. Because when you make, you want to make in the right way, and you want to know people know about this. Not just for me personal. It's just people have to learn about the different cultures around the world. But some people sometimes forgot about this rum, what it was made for more than 300 years. And the first time they somebody talked about this rum was 1797. But they used to make coquito. And this is, that show up in a book in Paris, not in Puerto Rico. The guy come to go to visit Puerto Rico and he make a description of what he drink. He say it was inside the coconut, they pour the local rum, which is Pitoro, with spices and have the coconut flavor. Natural, not artificial flavors from that day. So this is the first time people can know about Pitoro. But if you want to see that book, you have to go to Paris to read that.
So Coquito is a very popular drink right now for the holidays. As I understand, this is what families would make and celebrate during the holidays.
Yes.
And Coquito was something that was introduced to me just a couple of years ago. And the fun part of what you just said is there's so many different recipes for Coquito. And everybody has their own little spice that they put in and all those things. So do you make a Coquito as well?
Yeah, we make Coquito with Pitorro, but it was sold out the same day. And the secret to make a good Coquito is don't use evaporated milk, don't use eggs, and you have to use Pitorro if you want to make a good flavor of Coquito. That's the secret. That's not a secret. This is something from 1797. These people learn the history, they're going to find the truth.
I did not know that the history that you just talked about with Pitorro. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, with anything, things get lost. Prohibition happens. We lose things. Things become just nobody talks about it anymore. You can't get it. When you were speaking to that, I almost thought about here in Pennsylvania, Rose and Rye and Laurel Fields and the Fields Foundation and what they're doing with the distilleries to bring back Rose and Rye and Stolen Wolf and Liberty Pole and all these other distilleries that are now distilling with Rosin or continuing the tradition with Rosin. And that's what you're doing at Pitorro. You're bringing back something that was before. You didn't know about it, but this is now. And this is what we're doing today. And it's interesting to me how something like that can get lost. And almost to the, you know, if your families did not continue the tradition, it might have, it's something that could get lost forever.
Yeah. And all that thing is about the Pitorro. Pitorro was drink straight. The first flavor is a mystery for some people, but after I do my PhD in Pitorro, the first flavor was with anisette, they call chichaito. That means, I can say a bad word.
Say a bad word.
Little fuck.
Okay. So, with your accent, nobody knows what that means. So that's what, say that, what's the name of the anise?
With the anise, they mix because the woman can drink it with the husband, chichaito.
Okay, chichaito. So Absinthia Vermouth, she might be interested in this for her new absinthe line. That would be fascinating. So that was the first Pitorro where they added flavor to it?
Yes, because in the past, just men drink the Pitorro. It was too strong. The women don't want to drink. But there's some ones that are 4x4, they can drink it.
Okay.
But then other men want to drink with the wife. They add anise flavor to it. But they call chichaito because then they finish like having sex a lot of kids.
Okay.
That was the name come, chichaito.
So warning to those that start drinking Pitorro that are looking to start a family, this could very well help motivate that.
Yes.
From what you're saying.
Yeah.
What's our next expression we're going to try?
Well, we have our passion fruit. It's made 100% with passion fruit. Won't have any syrups, artificial flavors, or flavor add.
Now, the process of flavoring Pitorro is you're steeping. It's almost like putting a big tea bag into the Blanco. Am I right?
Yeah.
And then you allow this to add flavor over time. You're tasting it here and there till you get to that place where you say, this is exactly what I want it to be.
Yeah, this is what we do.
The passion fruit does not lose any character. In fact, it's front and center. And a lot of times you could drink something like a flavored vodka, or as you pointed out, some people will flavor rums and even things like flavored whiskeys. This more transfers into passion fruit, and then you get the essence from the proof that allows you to still know that this is a rum. This is earthy, and I feel like I'm transported into some tropical beach somewhere to just nose this. Well, I tried it, and I know now I'm not going to get any back that I just gave it to Dawn, so... Now, was this the second flavor,
yeah,
the second expression that you did? Was this your wife saying you had to do this, or was this an idea for you?
No, because
I know you told me she now tells you everything to do.
Yeah,
now.
We have the idea to infuse the passion fruit, but we changed some techniques to give this expression. And she worked with me. She worked. Her work is be a hater with me, because she. I told her you have to be 100% honest. If you don't like it, you let me know. And like that.
So did you say her job is to be a hater?
My wife.
Right. No, but is that her job to be a hater?
Yes, because she have to tell me the truth.
Okay. Don't get any ideas, Dawn. I'll tell you, this in itself, you know, there are a lot of companies that are doing these ready-to-drink cocktails. And some are good, some are great, some not so much, because they feel like they've got to be part of the crowd. You know, they're doing it, we need to do it, customers are coming in, they want to know, do you have any ready-to-drink cocktails? So they need to start to have something. This in itself is a ready-to-drink cocktail. I could certainly see opening up a can. Now, I'm sure the proof does not make it a good, you know, this is 100 proof.
No, that one is 70 proof.
Oh, shoo. Okay. All right, we're there. We're almost there.
We make a balance between the rum and the passion fruit. If we make 100 proof, you're going to feel the rum sweet.
That's why I get all passion fruit and very little rum, because it's all proofed down and the passion fruit just comes so through.
That's why we make 70 proof, 35%, because we want people feel the passion fruit and the perfect balance with the rum. So it's still to be a flavored rum, still high proof, because the other ones are 20, 15. So we made 35 to keep the perfect balance.
Wally, that's delicious. Like I said, I mean, I know you had mentioned that you're dog friendly and you have, and during the summer and spring in the warmer weather, you can set out tables.
Yeah.
But one of the things right now, and you hope they don't change, is that people can get their cocktail and they can walk around the area, and there's an open container. It's okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. When people stop here with the dog, they get the cocktail drink and then they continue walking the dog. This is awesome. I like it. I really like it. I love it.
Come and grab your pregame cocktail before the Phillies play, and then you're all set.
Yeah.
You're ready to watch.
Yeah. People, they take the, sometimes they buy the bottles, or they come with the cardboard stuff, they put six glasses, but for six drinks.
Very nice. All right, what's the next one? Because now I'm like, I got two more and...
Pineapple. Infused 100% with pineapple. Nothing artificial.
Do you caramelize this at all? Does the pineapple get cooked, or is it just fresh pineapple?
No, fresh pineapple. But
really?
We take the gravity of the fruit, the sugar gravity of the fruit, to check it is in the point we want. But we don't cook the pineapple. We just let her see it on the pitoro. That's it.
So with this and the rum, the pitoro, what you get is it's almost like you took pineapple and you grilled it. And then you added it back and you flavored it, because you get this wonderful caramelization, to where I would have thought, wow, you know, that may be your next cocktail, where you're grilling pieces of pineapple.
That's a good idea.
Or you've already done it and now you're just humoring me, didn't you? Oh, wow. This is so different, because the viscosity to me on this seems to be more pronounced. There's more of a mouthfeel on this. I'm not sharing this.
Oh, God.
There's, again, there. In fact, even with this, there's a little bit of a spiciness to it. And I don't believe you've added any spices. It's just pineapple.
Just pineapple.
And the rum.
And the rum. That's it.
That's it.
I like the caramel taste to it, too. That's really good.
You get a hint of clove. There's a little bit of clove that gives you this warmth to it. But you also get that marshmallow component, that sweetness to it, that molasses, that sugary component.
I think that's my favorite.
They're all my favorite. Delicious.
But any of those don't have any spice or something. Nothing.
Again, I could you know, these two, just little cocktails, as you said, these are for just sipping. These are for just drinking. Just sitting outside, sitting inside, entertaining with friends, making cocktails. Wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. All right, what's this one that's a little darker than everything else?
This one is May Raisin and Prune, which is very popular in Puerto Rico. This is, I believe, the more famous flavor in Puerto Rico between the older generations. So we made both our own style. We add cinnamon, we add cloves, vanilla bean, and a little bit of anise star.
Wally, why is, to me, what is it about raisins and prunes in Puerto Rico or in Pitoro that has become that staple or that singular style that people enjoy drinking?
It tastes good. People love it. And easy to make because it's just let her sit without hard working. And I believe old generation like more those flavors.
Don't get too excited because that one's just sold out.
Mm. So you mentioned the coquito. Did I say that right? Coquito.
Yeah.
I would take that because of what I understand it to be. And that's where I'm adding the coconut to that.
I smell cocoa, yeah. Or like cola.
It's got those components because you've got the cinnamon and the star anise and the baking spices in that.
Oh, that's really good.
I would just love to take that and add a little bit of coconut milk to it or just...
Yeah.
See, I'm giving the ideas. Next thing you know, they're all going to be showing up on your cocktail menu. The line will be out the door.
I have to put your name on it.
Just call it Fermented Adventure. That would be fine.
Yeah.
But this is sold out.
Yes.
When's the next batch come out?
Next Friday.
Okay.
Friday, the 22, I believe, or...
One of those days.
Yeah.
One of those days on a Friday. This is coming out. And how many bottles come out of one of your runs? I mean, how many bottles can people know that there's only going to be a limited supply of?
Well, we always post when we have something as a small batch. We always letting know the people on the social media. And sometimes we sold out something, but we have the next batch already bottled. But sometimes we don't, like the coquito, it's going too fast, and that one go too fast, but we don't bottle yet.
Have you gotten to that point, or what's the strategy right now? Because it sounds to me as if this is desiring more attention from you to keep up with production than what's happening in your everyday life.
Yeah.
What's the plan for Casa W Distillery moving forward for 2024?
Well, we're looking for other place to make production, bigger place to make production if we can. Keeping this facility for tasting room, but making more flavors. We already taste some flavors, so we want to make more flavors to people. And getting better cocktails and bigger still. This is what we need.
You mentioned your social media.
Yeah.
Where do people go in your social media?
Instagram, Casa W Distillery, and Facebook, Casa W Distillery.
Wally, this has been tremendous. And as I said, La Fricatona, they were the ones that shared you with us. Yeah. And this is how it works. We share you. People now know you in the West Reading, the Wyomissing area. I'm sure you've got some raving fans close by. Hopefully you'll start to see people come from out of the area. And this West Reading, the Reading area, right now, there's a lot to do. There are the breweries.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, distilleries going on here. And you've got the pagoda you can go see. You've got so much happening here. And you're a part of that fabric. Is there anything we haven't spoken about on the podcast? Anything you want people to know about you or?
Well, the only I can say is Pitoro is a rum, but not any rum can be Pitoro.
Perfect. And what I would say is get over here, to Casa W Distillery. You're going to fall in love. If you've never had Pitoro, you're going to fall in love with it. And then you'll be looking for all those special releases that you have. Thank you so much for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. Thanks for sharing this wonderful family legacy with us. And we cannot wait to be standing outside and see you again for that. Those all those great new releases.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.